I grew up in a small town in North Carolina, just 6 miles from the South Carolina line, and my mother was a real Southern cook. I just loved the food that she turned out, and high on that list was North Carolina barbecue. Yes, along with it were some wonderful greasy French fries. We didn't say greasy in Rockingham. We said greasy. Yeah, greasy French fries. My mouth is watering right now as I think about it. My mom also loved vegetables, and she served them in abundance, and she cooked them to a mushy mess. I didn't mind. I thought that was the way you always had them. I didn't like collard greens. I thought they were rather bitter. I liked turnip greens, but not collard greens. And oh yes, I hated asparagus. I love it now. I don't know what happened, but I just love asparagus now, but I hated it then. Now, advance a few years. I met Elizabeth, and I fell in love. And her food experience was very different from mine. Her parents were Northerners. Barbecue? Nope. Vegetables? Yuck. Vegetables cooked into a mush? Double yuck. And we have to confess that we really didn't know much or care much about nutrition. We just liked what we liked. We got married, we started having babies, and we started caring about nutrition. I can remember giving my infant children vitamins out of an eyedropper into their little mouths. And I became a lot more interested in vitamins and minerals, and I discovered that the human body needs certain nutrients to be healthy, whether it tasted good or not. And so I began learning about this whole world of vitamin mineral supplements, and my greatest teacher, you won't believe this, but my greatest teacher in that was Lucille Ball. Does anybody remember the I Love Lucy show? I mean, you just didn't ever miss the I Love Lucy show. And I remember one night in 1957, she did a commercial for Vitamita-Vegemin. Vitamita-Vegemin, do you remember that? Some of you remember that. If you've never heard of that, go to YouTube. I'll bet it's on YouTube. It's hilarious. I'll never forget it. 10 years before that, in 1942, the year I was born, by the way, the Bayer Company started manufacturing one-a-day vitamins, and it's still going. Supplements became a huge financial empire in our nation. Some stores opened that sold nothing but vitamins and minerals. It was kind of like Blockbuster, nothing but movies, you know. And some people say they owe their life to those, and other people say they don't do anything. You're just wasting your money. You know, it just goes in, comes out. They claim that God provided everything that we need for a healthy life. All we have to do is make wise decisions in our food choices. Well, I don't know whether vitamins and mineral supplements do any good or not. Don't ask me. I don't know. I mean, it's a debate. Flip a coin. But here's my question. What in the world does all of that have to do with 2 Peter? You're probably asking yourself the same question right now. You see, today's the first day of 5 when we're going to look at this epistle from one of Jesus' favorite disciples, the Apostle Peter. And in it, he begins by telling us that we need one-a-day supplements. But we need it for more than our bodies. We need it for our souls, for our spirits. In chapter 1, after he introduces himself, he starts in verse 3, and he said, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. There you go. He seems to agree with the non-supplement naysayers, or the supplement naysayers. He seems to agree with them. God's given us everything we need. And if you're wondering what God's given us, well, let's start here. The Word. The Word is God's spiritual food. When is the last time you partook of it? I'm pausing for dramatic effect. When is the last time you partook of God's spiritual food? And then Peter said in verse 4, God has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you. Look up. You. May participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you have evil desires? Does anyone around you have evil desires? Do they act out? Now here it comes. Peter recommends a prescription of one a day supplements for your souls. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I don't know if you were counting or not. Let me list them again and count them with me. How many are there? Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. How many? The perfect number, the number for perfection in the Bible. These virtues are a lot like the fruits of the Holy Spirit, aren't they? If you know what I'm talking about. But instead of it being something that is given to you by the Holy Spirit, these virtues are things that you have to pick yourself. No, not only that, you have to dig the hole, plant the seed, water it, nurture it, watch it grow, and pick the fruit and eat it yourself. Whether you take all 7 supplements once a day, or 1 supplement a day each day of the week, Peter said we need them, and we need them all the time. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Now let's stop right there. In other words, it's not enough to have goodness. I got to be gooder and gooder. Increasing measure. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Can you imagine your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, looking at you, a professing Christian, and saying, you're ineffective. You're unproductive as a Christian. I don't see Christ in you. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, a little bit like Karen, you know, without her lens. Nearsightedness is terrible. I became nearsighted in the 8th grade. And by the time I married Elizabeth, my lenses were so thick, you know, the bottle, how they say bottle. The doctor declared me legally blind without glasses. Then along came cataracts. And they put in these lenses in my eyes so that I don't have to have bottle caps anymore on my nose. I can see better because of these lenses. I thank God for cataracts. To be nearsighted is bad enough, but to be blind. You remember last week when Callie told us how she went to the doctor and was fearful that she might become blind? That made me shudder. Blindness is terrible. I mean, I wouldn't know, but if anyone does not have these virtues, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. You have been cleansed from your past sins. Hallelujah. Being nearsighted is bad enough, blind. None of us want that. Okay, then God has given us everything we need for salvation. But if we want to be spiritually healthy and grow in knowledge of the Lord, we need these seven supplements for our soul. So let's examine them one by one. Here's number one, goodness. What in the world is that? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. Do you like to go out to eat? I think most people do. How do you dress when you go out to eat? Well, that probably depends on where you're going. I mean, for the sake of this illustration, let's suppose you're going to somebody's backyard and you're going to hammer out some Maryland crabs and you're going to get all that stuff on the table and all over you, probably all over your face and in your hair, with an extra dose of humidity and bugs. Why anybody would enjoy that, I have no idea, but some people do. If that's what you're doing, would you guys wear a coat and tie? I don't think so. Would you ladies wear a dress? I don't think so. You wouldn't fit in. It wouldn't be right. But perhaps you're going to a special dinner and you had to make reservations and they have candlelight there and the waiters wear tuxedos. How would you dress for that one? Oh, you want to fit in, don't you? You want to look good, don't you? So you would work at it a little harder. You might even use a mirror. Okay, those are two extremes. The literal biblical word for goodness is neither of those extremes, because the literal biblical word for goodness is you dress, is not that you dress yourself outwardly to fit in, but it means an uprightness in heart and life. It's an inner thing. Heart and life is far more than making yourself look good or making yourself fit in. It's a matter of what is inside of you. It's a matter of your attitude about life rather than your attitude about parties. Life attitude, party attitude. Which do you have? Which do you live for? Which do you strive to achieve? Life or party? Peter said, look inside yourself, not in the mirror, look inside yourself. And once you do that, then be the best you that you can possibly be. Don't just imitate other people. Don't just try to fit in. Really be good. Matthew 4:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. A good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in him. Okay, that's number one. What's the second one? Knowledge. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when someone tells you that you need a supplement of knowledge? Most people think, well, I need to know more facts. I need to know more facts. No. I mean, well, sure, facts and knowledge about God and about God's word is wonderful. It's even necessary for us to be spiritually whole. But let me read you a meaty definition of what Peter was trying to say here. Here it is. In late antiquity, knowledge was designated an intuitive awareness of hidden mysteries, as opposed to discursive analytical facts. Translation. Knowledge here means getting to know God more intimately. Getting to know God intimately, recognizing his voice and responding to his voice. That just shouts of relationship. Relationship. How do you cultivate a great relationship? Well, I'll tell you how not to do it. Join today's culture. Because today's culture wants to work remotely at home, away from everybody else, so that you don't have to see people. In today's culture, communication is through electronics rather than face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, touching one another. To build relationships, my goodness, it requires quantity of time and quality of time together, close together, in touch with one another, where you can talk to one another about anything openly and feel the connection flowing from person to person. That is a daily supplement that everyone needs. It's truly important, and that definitely includes the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Take that one home today and major on that verse. And you know what? You'll be amazed how much better your life is when you major on that verse. Okay, here's number three, self-control. It's all about setting boundaries for yourself. Now, this takes discipline. And you know what else it takes? In addition to discipline, it takes maturity. So if you're having any trouble with self-control and setting boundaries in your own life, maybe the best advice anyone can give to you is grow up. Well, Harry, I'm 90 years old. That doesn't mean you've grown up yet. I'm still growing, aren't you? Set aside your childishness and maturely do what you need to do. Otis was telling me in the car coming here today about something her granddaughter sent to her this week, picturing a boy leading a horse through the woods, and the boy said, "I can't see." And the horse said, "Well, can you see the step in front of you?" And the boy said, "Yes, I can." He said, "Then take that step. Do what you need to do." Here's what God said about it in Proverbs 25:28. He said, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." In those days, the city without walls was a city without defense. It was open to attack. And that's true of you and of me. If we let our guard down, the devil is going to rush in as fast as he can. You know that very well, don't you? You know that. You've experienced it, haven't you? Peter said, think of self-control as a wall that you need to nurture in order to keep the devil out. And that's a tough one. It means that you have to say no when no is the right answer. To what or to whom in your life do you need to say no? Don't tell me. Tell God. And then confess it to Him and repent of it, and then find a good Christian friend who will hold you accountable. But before you do all that, ask the Holy Spirit for help. If you skip that step, I mean, it's like putting on Band-Aids. You need the Holy Spirit to master self-control. Okay, we're halfway through this list of daily supplements, and the fourth one is perseverance. And that means stay in the race. Never give up. And that's quite a challenge when things are not going well. Right, Debbie? It's quite a challenge. Jesus talked about it in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. I'm not going to read the whole parable. I'll just read a part of it that relates to persevering. In the parable, Jesus said, "Some seed fell on rocky places, and when it did not have much soil, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And a few verses later, Jesus interpreted that for the hearers. He said, "The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecutions come because of the word, he quickly falls away." Do you see yourself in that parable? Or maybe in this poem. You'll see yourself in this poem. It's by Anne Stortz. "When all the world is looming dark and things seem not so clear, when shadows seem to hover round, Lord, may I persevere. When it seems everything's been tried and there's no way to go, just let me keep remembering, sometimes the journey is slow. I may just need to stop and rest along the path I trod, a time to try to understand and have my talk with God. As I gain new strength to carry on, without a doubt or fear, somehow I know things will be right, and so I persevere." That's your next one today. If you believe in the strength of God, if you believe in the power of the Lord, then hang in there, brothers and sisters. Hang in there, even in the difficult times. Hang in there. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, that's four. Here comes number five, godliness. Now, this is an interesting one. I mean, it's very easy to understand that word if you apply it to the Lord. But what in the world does it mean for you and for me to be godly? Some people think they have it figured out. They think that it means to be religious. In other words, be disciplined about your Bible reading and be disciplined about your prayer life and come to church and be in church regularly and give and serve and evangelize, you know, all those things. All those are good things. They're great things. All those are vital things. But you know what? They can be crutches. They can just be routines. You come to church because that's what we do on Sundays. You pray and you meditate on God's word because that's what you were told to do. Those things will help you be godly, but only if they are internal. Godliness is a heart condition. So are most of these, I think, don't you? Godliness is a heart condition. It's much more than religious routines. Godliness is loving Jesus Christ so much that you do everything you can to obey him and to serve him and to love him. It is a passion for you to have that kind of relationship with your Lord. Are you challenged yet? Here's the sixth one, brotherly kindness. Paul defined that in Romans 12:10, where he said, "Be devoted to one another." Look up. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. That's what he said. As they say, you can choose your friends, but you are stuck with your family. If you're like the majority of the world, you love everyone in your family, but you do not necessarily like everyone in your family. Did I hit a nerve? Anybody identify with that? Brotherly kindness is just like that in the church. You may not like everyone in this room. And guess what? They may not like you either. But we are all called to be part of the Christian family. And we don't have to like everyone, but we are called to love everyone. Do you need some help with that? Well, take your one a days, and that will help you with that. And that brings us to the last one. Number 7, love. You know all about that one. You know it's what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. Those lyrics were written by Hal David and Burt Bacharach wrote the music, and they released it in 1965 during the Vietnam War, and it became a big hit. But you know what's wrong with that song? It appears to be telling God that it's his problem, like he hasn't given us enough love. And he needs to do something to correct that. Listen to some of these words. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, there's more. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord. And here's the most offensive line of all. If you want to know. Am I ruining this song for you? It kind of ruined it for me to think about it that way. It's backwards. God wrote better lyrics than that. Thousands of years before they did, and he said things like, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That's John chapter 15, and this is Colossians 3. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And this is 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Well, Hal David had it right when he said we need more love in this world, but he needed to spell out what love is and who love is and who now has the responsibility to love. That's you. That's me. So there you have it. Peter has given us a divine prescription of 7 supplements that we all need every day because they will cure what ails us. But like any prescription, we have to be faithful to take the meds. If we don't, Peter said we would be nearsighted and blind. Verse 10, once again, therefore, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is not saying that you will gain salvation by doing these things, but what it does say is that you will confirm your salvation to everyone who sees you. They will know that they know that you know. Because you're taking your supplements seriously. So go home and take your supplements. Nobody else can take them for you. It is your decision. Do I hear an amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have spoken, and may we hear you. And may we, Lord, meditate on all of these virtues every day this week as we prepare to go deeper into your word in 2 Peter. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.